I want to read from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2 and 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection or mind on things above and not on things of the earth. And this is the word I want to share with you this morning. Verse 3 says, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." In this church we have spoken much about being dead with Christ. You know, in Romans 6:11, it says, "Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then in Romans 6:4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death." And says here, even in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. See, when a person repents of his sin and confesses sins to the Lord and puts his faith in Jesus, then the person also believes that he is dead with Christ. And we bury that person in baptism, saying the old life is gone, that he's come to a new life in Christ. And then there's another wonderful thing here. It says, we're not only dead with Christ, we are buried with Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, we are risen with Christ. There's a new life in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things have become new. And I believe that's the testimony of every believer. We should be able to say, once upon a time, I was a sinner, but Christ has changed my life. I've repented, and my old life is gone, is buried. And God has raised me in Christ, and I'm a new person in Christ. That many of us have understood that, I guess. But it's in my heart to share with something else that probably not many are so gripped by. This is verse 3. "For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." After we are saved and after we are born again, and even if we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can say, "I'm pressing on." And some people say, "I'm just getting ready for the coming of the Lord." But I want to say this, a lot more the Lord has planned for all of us, and it's quite likely that we can miss the wonderful plan God has for all of us. I can give you some homework to do. Just go to Google search and put "hidden Christ" and see if you can get anything. I'm surprised, you get so little. Almost nobody speaks about this life that is hid with Christ in God. And I must say that is the whole foundation for our Christian life. And that's what keeps us going. And after we are saved and baptized, and even after we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord wants to lead us to a tremendous life. He gives us a hidden life in Christ Jesus that is unknown to most people. And you know, if you want to know about this hidden life, first you've got to look at the life of Jesus. You know, in Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. After Jesus was baptized, it says that, Luke chapter 3 verse 21, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him bodily shaped like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." You know, Jesus had completed 30 years of age, and now he got baptized, and he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he got this voice from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We can ask ourselves, what is it that caused Jesus to get the approval of the Father? He had not done any miracle. He had not preached any sermon. He was not well known. He had not traveled anywhere. In fact, he was so ordinary, not many people even knew about Jesus. They thought he was just an ordinary man like any other Jew. But you know, the Christian world calls this first 30 years of Jesus the hidden years or the silent years. Not many people know what Jesus did during the first 30 years. They all know Jesus after the 30th year during the ministry. He healed many people, healed the blind, healed the deaf, he raised the dead, he fed the multitude, all that we know. But if you ask an average believer, what do you think Jesus did during the first 30 years of life? I think not many will be able to give some answers. But I just want to show you some scriptures which tell us what Jesus did during the first 30 years of life. Then we can get an understanding of this hidden life with Jesus. For example, we read in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we are not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For 30 years, God took Jesus through many, 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 many temptations, hundreds of temptations. He was tempted like us, like you and I are tempted after we are saved, after we are baptized, even after we are filled with the Holy Spirit. All of us know we are tempted daily, till our death. And Jesus was tempted like us, it says here, in all points. Yet, Jesus did not yield to sin. We can say that's the secret of the life of Jesus. That's the glory of life of Jesus. Like an ordinary young brother. Jesus was a 30-year-old young brother. Imagine he faced so many temptations. And every temptation, he did not yield to sin. He was tempted and did not yield. That's a wonderful verse, brothers and sisters. It's good for us to meditate much on that verse. That's the secret of Christian life. He was tempted like us, yet he did not sin. And then we read in 1 Peter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. This is not talking about the cross. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And all of us, we know, whenever we are tempted, there's a choice. To yield to sin or not to yield to sin. We know when we yield to sin, we get some pleasure. And you don't need to be a scholar for that, all of us know that. We all sin because we want some pleasure. And when we don't yield to sin, there is some suffering. And we can say that's the way Jesus lived. He did not want to yield to sin and get that pleasure. He said no to sin. He received grace from God. And the Bible says, have this mind that was in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful way to follow Jesus in this hidden way that many people don't know about it. And you know, temptation after temptation, Jesus was faithful. And many people ask, brother, it's so difficult to overcome temptation. You know, the more you resist, the more you don't yield, the more you put up a good fight, you become stronger. And the more you yield, the more you give in, you become weaker. It's just a plain fact that all of us experience. Those who are consistent in not giving in to sin, even though they may be tempted, you find over a period of time, they come to a tremendous life in God. And this is what we call a hidden life in Jesus. I look at the lives of many brothers and sisters. I see there's a dryness. There's a staleness. There's a lack of freshness. And I see a lack of growth. And you know why? You know what's the difference? See, they all come to the same meeting. They all hear the same word of God. They know the doctrine. But I don't know how you react when you're tempted during the week. That only God knows. Whether you're faithful day after day, Monday through Saturday. Now, Sunday morning we all come together and we say, oh, we praise the Lord. And all of us look wonderful. That's great. I'm happy to praise the Lord too. But I do not know your hidden life. Monday through Saturday, whether you're faithful in secret, And I can say that's what makes the world of difference. You know, in all our schools and colleges, you got to get minimum marks. 35% is pass marks. Okay? And in maths, for example, some students get 100%. We can say those who got 35 also, they passed. Those who got 100 also, they passed. But you know, there's such a world of difference between getting 35% and just scraping through, and the guy who struggled to solve every problem and get 100%. And we can say even spiritual life is like that. Some people, somehow they want to scrape through, somehow I'm saved, I want to make it to heaven. And afterwards they live as they like, fulfill their own lust and do their own will. And that's why there's no hidden life with God. But some say, Lord, when I'm tempted, I don't want to fall into even one sin. I want to be faithful day after day like Jesus. And those who follow the Lord like that. And you may say, brother, nobody is watching me. Yeah, that's true. Nobody is watching you. So you can get 35% and make it to heaven, brother. But, you know, Jesus wasn't bothered whether others were watching him or not. I want to show you one more lovely verse about the glory of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I like this verse about Jesus. Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. Jesus grew up before the Father. The only thing that worried of Jesus was, Father is watching me and I must not displease him. Even if nobody is watching me, you know, all of us by nature, our one comfort is, even when I fell, nobody saw me. That's a great comfort. And that's the reason so few don't have this hidden life in Christ. But Jesus knew the Father was watching. Like we used to sing the Sunday school song, oh, be careful, little eyes. What do you see? For the Father from above is looking, for the Father from above is looking down in tender love. Jesus knew the Father was watching him day after day after day after day. And he grew up before him. And he said, I must not sin. Even if nobody has seen me, I don't want to fall into sin. I don't want to give into sin. And that is the spirit of Christ. We must partake of, brothers and sisters. And that's how we can come into a hidden life in Christ. As I told you, I do not know you, your hidden life during the week. All of us come here to the meeting. We pay attention to the Word of God. But what makes the difference is our life that is not seen by men. And you know, it says in the same chapter, Isaiah 53, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him or crush him. You know, God the Father took Jesus through many, 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 many trials. And you know, we can see how Jesus reacted. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Oh, he never wanted to do his own will in any trial. He said, Father, have your own way, not my will. He did not do his own will. And let the Father do such a fantastic work in him. There is no complaining and murmuring, why this for me, Father? No. Trial after trial, hundreds and hundreds of trials, Jesus was faithful in every trial. And he pleased the Father. Oh, I want to be gripped more by this Jesus. I praise the Lord for the ministry of Jesus too. But I want to be gripped more by this hidden life that Jesus had. I hope we'll remember this verse. He grew up before him. I like all the young brothers and sisters to grow up before God. Don't worry about what people think, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter if others don't have a good impression. If the Lord finds you that you are faithful. I want to say, God will also give you a testimony. Yeah, that's my beloved son. Not only Jesus, even this young brother in CSC. I may not be in CSC, maybe it's a young brother in some other church. He's faithful every day. They all say, this is my beloved son. I am pleased with him. And then, I want to show you one more verse about the glory of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he were a son, he learned obedience. You know, many of us think Jesus had a cakewalk through life. And I want to say, that is not true. Because all of us are not having a cakewalk either. All of us are struggling with temptations and trials. And Jesus also had to struggle through temptations. But he was determined not to give in. And then it says here, he learned obedience through suffering. In other words, it was not easy for Jesus also. He endured. He learned. Just like, you know, those who study medicine. Yeah, it's a tough course, but afterwards they learn. They learn the subject. They learn to operate. And same way, we can also say, our brothers, Christian life is tough. But we can endure. We can learn. And after some time, we can say, God's helped me to learn certain things. And not only that, there's one more verse about the hidden life of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He was just like any other boy in Israel. But God's grace was upon him. And that's what I desire for all our young people as they grow here. Oh, may God's grace come upon you. And then, it says here, verse 51. And he went down with them and he came to Nazareth, was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus was subject to the parents for many, many years. I know not many young people like to hear this, but I can say this is the hidden life Jesus had. Father put him in a house of Joseph and Mary. Be there till you're 30. And as we have often heard, Mary and Joseph were not perfect, but Jesus had to learn submission there under imperfect parents. And Jesus was faithful. Oh, what a fantastic example Jesus is for all of us brothers and sisters. Oh, some of us ask, how long I'll submit? That's the question many people ask. When can I be free? Jesus was glad to be under authority for so many years, till it pleased the Father. And no one, let's say next verse, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. As I said, before Jesus, there was not one man on earth who was faithful in every temptation, every trial. There were godly people like Abraham and Joseph and Noah and Moses, so many godly people. But Jesus was the first person on earth to be faithful in every temptation, every trial, every day, quietly, hidden from all great scholars. Father watching Jesus day after day after day after day. And the Father said, at the end of 30 years, after watching Jesus for many years, oh, Jesus, no, it's the secret of Jesus, brothers and sisters. He loved to be hidden. He loved to be unknown. You see, how do you know, brother? See, in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Mark chapter 9, verse 35. And if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And that's how Jesus kept himself all through life. Last of all, servant of all. He called himself Son of Man. He said, anyone speaks against Son of Man, that's what you mean. Oh, how much he longed to just be hidden. He prayed in secret. He never showed off. He fasted in secret. He gave in secret. He did good in secret. He blessed the others in secret. He was content to be just hidden. You know, if you are a good musician or a singer, or if you got the ability to speak, and suppose your Lord seeks to hide you for 30 years, can you bear it? I know many people, they can't bear it. Supposing you're a good musician, and the Lord says, no, you don't play. They say there's an itch, at least in the world, to show off, to exhibit your talents. Jesus also knew the scriptures so much. He has such content and hidden wisdom. I'm sure Jesus hid God's word in his heart. If you had opened Jesus' heart and seen, it was pure through and through. Through and through there was true humility, there was wisdom, and there was love. And Jesus had a fantastic hidden life. Again, if you ask me, how do you know, brother? Turn to Matthew chapter 12. You know, Jesus said, verse 35, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Because Jesus learned to walk before the Father, there was a good treasure in his heart. His heart was filled with love. His heart was filled with compassion. His heart was filled with goodness. His heart was filled with God's word. And I want to say this morning, it's not just for Jesus. It's for all of us, brothers and sisters. You can be young and yet have this wonderful, glorious, hidden life in Christ Jesus. And as I said, one of the basic problems many believers have is they don't distinguish between temptation and sin. Now, to be tempted, that is not sin. Because as I said, till our death, we are all going to be tempted. Day after day after day, we are going to be tempted. I know in the early days of a Christian life, I used to get into condemnation even when I got tempted. Now I'm walking by the road and I'm tempted. Yeah, maybe by bad posters. Or maybe I go to a library, I'm tempted to read bad books. Or even in your mind, you're tempted to think bad thoughts. Now that is temptation. That is not sin. And it's good for us to know. And as I said, every time you're tempted, there's a choice. Are you going to want to yield? Or you don't want to yield? And that's why we need grace from God. And that's why Jesus received grace. And because he received grace, he could say no to every temptation. And that's how Jesus came to a tremendous hidden life in God. And I want to say this morning, God wants to give us, all of us brothers and sisters, the same hidden life that he had. So it's not enough for us to be saved and somehow make it to heaven. If the Lord would assist us alive, what kind of, spiritually speaking, what kind of marks will get? Will you just get 35 or 36? I will say, Lord, one life you gave me on earth, after at least you gave me this wonderful truth, I want to be faithful in every temptation. I want to ask you this morning, is that your longing? And especially to be faithful in secret when nobody sees. And I believe those are the brothers who are really valuable to the church. Now, I don't know, maybe we are some 300 or 400 here. But if you ask me who are the brothers who are really valuable to the church, those who are faithful in secret, even if they can't sing, even if they can't speak English properly, even if they can't give a testimony properly, I want to tell you, brethren and sister, you are very valuable in God's eyes. You know something? In our body, God has made it like that. The vital organs are hidden. Did you know that? Brain is hidden, heart, stomach, liver, kidneys. They are doing a fantastic job, day after day, consistently, faithfully. If the heart packs up, that's the end of our life. And they're all hidden, and they're content to be hidden all through life. How many of us this morning say, Lord, I don't care if you keep me hidden all through my life. I'm glad, Lord, to have a hidden life in Jesus. And let others, yeah, maybe they are more gifted than me. Let them be in the pulpit. Let them get the credit. I am glad to be hidden. I'm content to be hidden. Like we sing the song, I'd rather have Jesus. Can we say, I'd rather be faithful than famous? Yeah, some can, because of their gifts, they can be famous. But like someone said, the best brothers and sisters in the church, they're not always famous. They're unknown. They're hidden. I hope you say, Lord, I want to be among the faithful. Those who are faithful in secret. You know, like the sons of Sceva, the devil said, Jesus, I know Paul, I know who are you. And I believe the devil should be able to say, yeah, I know this brother. He is faithful in secret. He doesn't play the fool. And I hope the Lord can point to some of us here and say, I know this brother. I know this brother, sister. They are true and true and true faithful. You know this lovely verse we used to look at before in Psalm 45 verse. I like this verse. Psalm 45 verse 13. You know, this is how we become the part of the bride of Christ. Verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. The bride of Christ, it says she has made herself ready. How? By being faithful in secret every day. She knows to put to death the deeds of the body, because she listens to the Holy Spirit. And that's the body of Christ, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters who are faithful in secret and hidden, and are glad to be hidden, and are faithful no matter what happens, in every temptation, every trial. I want to say this morning, God needs many such brothers and sisters in CFC. Yeah, we praise the Lord for all the brothers who clean the floor and clean the toilet and help in many ways. That's good. We appreciate it. Keep it up. But don't be content with that. How is it in your hidden life? We want to see you clean the floor and clean the toilet and helping in other practical matters. But the Lord sees you in your daily life in the time of temptation. He sees your thought life. He sees your motives. He sees your attitudes. Can the Lord say, yeah, that's, he's following my son's footsteps. I'm happy with him. And we want to raise up a new generation of brothers and sisters who are gripped by this hidden life. Who can say, Lord, if you give me talent, I'll use it. If you give me gifts, I'll use it. But I want to be faithful in secret. You know, we used to sing a lovely song many years ago. I love it. Faithfulness I'll honor, virtue glorious. This is the Lord's own nature. Faithful is His name. Faithful in secret, faithful in thought. That song goes on like that. Faithful in thought life, faithful in speech. And that's the glory of Christian brothers and sisters. That's the glory of Jesus. He was faithful in His time, faithful in speech, faithful in thought life. Oh, may God raise up a generation of brothers and sisters who long to be faithful. You know, the Bible says, who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 20. I hope we can say, yeah, here we are. Here there are in CFC. God can, I hope the Lord can point out to some people and say, there are some faithful people in secret. They're not famous, but they're faithful. You know, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 22. You know, they chose Saul to be leader and they're, and therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should come hither. And the Lord answered, behold, he has hid himself among the stuff. Here Saul, when he began, he had such a good attitude. He hid himself. I hope we'll have some brothers and sisters like that. No, I'm not interested in getting publicity, honor. I want to be hidden. Only if Saul did not continue like that. You know, Joseph, oh, he was hidden for so many years. And brothers and sisters, the Lord may take us through many situations and test us. I hope we'll pass the test. You know, Luke 21, that widow was hidden, but the Lord commended her. Oh, the Lord's looking for brothers and sisters who long to be hidden like Jesus and be faithful in secret. And that's how, you know, I want to close with this word in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I espouse you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You know, a person who's engaged to a man, she's expected to be faithful till marriage. And after she's married also, she's supposed to be faithful. And we can say that's the spirit of the bride. You know, the bride longs to be faithful. You know, there are some people in this modern generation, they're so unfaithful to their partners, and they say, I hope my partner doesn't know. That's all their longing is. I hope nobody knows what I'm doing. And such people are not hid with Christ in God. Can you say, Lord, you know my thoughts, you know my attitudes, you can test me, Lord. And I hope, brothers and sisters, God can do such a mighty work in us through His Spirit, change our way of thinking, change our thoughts, so that we have such a reserve or such a rich, hidden life before God, that God can say, this brother, sister just didn't get 35%. He got more than 90, 95, and 99. Or maybe press on and say, Lord, I don't want to be satisfied with 35. I want, Lord, faithfulness. Oh, I like that word, faithfulness. If you have the spirit of the bride, you will long to be faithful. And Jesus is a forerunner. For 30 years, He was willing to be faithful in secret. Then the Father put Him to ministry. I'm not saying we should wait for 30 years, but I believe the Lord tests us, brothers and sisters. Let's leave it to the Lord to test us. How long, we don't know. But can you say, Lord, my longing is to pass the test and be faithful and get the testimony from God. Can the Lord say, I see your thoughts. It's pure, through and through and true. I see. That means we've let the Holy Spirit do such a work in us. Can we say, Lord, deal with every thought in my life, that God can so cleanse you from all high-mindedness that you can become meek and lowly. Like it says in 1 Peter, a meek and quiet spirit, the hidden man of the heart. That means the humility is hidden. There's such humility inside. It's not the question of removing the ornaments, brothers and sisters. You know, there's a spirit, hidden spirit of Christ. And that's what the Lord's looking for, to make us spiritually rich. I want that anyway. Even if there's no ministry, say, Lord, I want the testimony from you. So that we can say that the Holy Spirit did such a fantastic, mighty, glorious work in us, just like Jesus. So that the Lord can raise up a bride who did not just somehow scrape through in life, but who can say, Lord, I allowed the... Can we say that we allowed the Holy Spirit to change us, transform us, and make our life glorious? Like we read, the bride of Christ is glorious within. May God give us a glorious hidden life, brothers and sisters. That's been my concern. I want to say, as I look at the congregation, Lord, I hope we have many such faithful brothers and sisters in secret. Then the Lord will be delighted. May we bring joy to God's heart, brothers and sisters, in the days to come. One short life on earth, can you say, Lord, I would rather be faithful than famous. Don't look for honor. Be faithful. And I believe that's not a bad word, brothers and sisters. That's not a hard word. And may we be gripped by a spirit of faithfulness. Say, Lord, give me grace to be faithful day after day. And thus build the church. And thus be ready for your coming. And thus bring joy to God's heart. Then all that Jesus did for us will not be in vain. Amen. Amen.
One thing what Brother Newton shared came to my heart directly. That is, I would rather be faithful than famous in this world. How many of us long for that? No, this is something that is hidden. We all like to be famous. Everybody has that desire, inborn desire. We see celebrities, they make themselves, you know, come up on stage and perform so many things so that they can be known and appreciated. And then once they become celebrities, they go into hiding. They don't want anybody to know where they are. This is just the paradox of life. But in the Christian life, Jesus was hidden for 30 years and nobody knew about him. And at the end of 30 years, he had not preached one sermon. He had not healed one person. But God the Father spoke about him from heaven, attested, saying that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And thereafter his ministry began. And Jesus said, when you give alms, when you pray, when you fast, do it in secret, not to put the mic and publish it to the world that you are fasting or you are praying or you are speaking in tongues. Some people speak in tongues even in the mic so that people can hear. That's not God's will. Jesus said, you do that and the Father who sees you in secret will reward you publicly. So that is our calling. Our calling is not to publicize first. Our calling is to first to be faithful in the hidden man. And when I am faithful in the hidden man, then like when you put a seed in the ground, it is there in the dark and moist, and over a period of time it comes out. And nobody need to stop it. Even if you see sometimes when they tar the road or when they put concrete on top of the building, sometimes you see some tiny plant coming through that, breaking forth the concrete and breaking forth the tar and, you know, asphalt and all that. How does it come? Because it has life in it. And that's how when we treasure God's word, Jesus said, my words are life and they are spirit. When we treasure that in our hearts, that takes root and that brings up, and then people can see and hear and be blessed. I was thinking of what the Newton read in Colossians 3:1. If then, see, this is Paul writing to the church at Colossae, to which he never visited. He just writes to them and he says to the believers there, he is not speaking to unbelievers, he is speaking to believers, and he says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He is writing to the believers and he says, if you are raised up with Christ, all you have to do is keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I think it says in the Living Bible that you should have as little interest in the things of this earth as a dead man has. Just think about that word. So simple and yet so profound. You should have as little interest in the things of this world as a dead man has. How much we struggle and work hard to come up in life. But it says God gives his beloved sleep. Another translation says God gives his beloved in sleep. Right? Yeah. So you don't have to be so much overly concerned about what you shall eat and what you shall drink and what you shall wear. For all this, the heathens, they fight for all these things. And I see in my office all these top executives, the way they make money and treasure up for the future, for the rainy day, and do this and that somehow, to increase their bank balance. I say, what are they going to take when they leave? Not a 10 paisa will be there in their coffin. They can't take even that, even if somebody puts there. They go empty handed, just like Job said, I came empty from my mother's womb and I'll go. Thanks be to God, he said. So our life is a hidden life. It says, Jesus said, we can read that in John 10, verse 28 and 29. He's talking about his sheep. He says, I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. You see, the security of believer is that I am in the hands of Jesus Christ, and he holds me. He says, no one shall snatch me out of Jesus' hand. And the next verse he says, and the Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. That means Jesus' hand is in the Father's hand, and I am so secure that I am in the hands of Jesus, in the palms of Jesus, and that hand is in the hands of the Father. And I am so secure that nobody can touch me there unless I want to jump out of that. And the Lord said in Isaiah, I have hidden you in the palms of my hand. What a security for believers. Our life can be hidden in the palms of God, and we can be so secure. And the growth that Paul says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. The growth ultimately comes from the Father. And when the growth comes, nobody can hide you. Nobody can ignore you. Nobody can say it is not there. You be faithful in your hidden life, and one day God will exalt you. You humble yourself, one day God will lift you up. Jesus said, he who humbles shall be exalted. In the world there is a principle, whatever goes up shall come down. But in the kingdom of God there is another principle that says, whatever goes down comes up. He who humbles himself shall be exalted. Let's concentrate on this. Our hidden life, like the psalmist said in Psalm 119 verse 11, I think. He said, I have hidden his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. As I treasure God's word in my heart more and more each day, then I have something to fight the enemy with. If a person doesn't know scriptures properly, if he doesn't read and doesn't memorize them and store them into his heart, he's like a man with a gun which has no bullets. And it is very easy for such a man to be knocked off. So when the psalmist says, I have hidden his words in my heart so that I can use them whenever the enemy tries to attack me, so that I'll have bullets in my gun, that I can be a victorious warrior, and that I shall not fall.
That was so refreshingly wonderful what we have heard this morning. I trust God has spoken to our hearts, and what we heard is the message that we preached in this church right from the very beginning. And if we want to make progress in our Christian lives, if we want to really know God, if we want to be of value to God, then we need to, like we heard both from Newton and Charles, to have a hidden life before God. That is the secret of Jesus' life. And that's the Jesus of the Bible. That's the Jesus, like we heard, I rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Not the Jesus that today, you know, is more like an exhibit. And like what we see in, you know, on the movie screen. But the Jesus of the Bible, to follow him. And I have been blessed this morning, and I believe that this is a message that God wants us to hear. If we are to preserve ourselves as a church, if we are to preserve ourselves, and endure to the end, that we seek to have a hidden life before God. And what came to me, that if we can sum up, like people speak about the hidden life of Jesus, just one word, continue. And that's what I want to leave with us as we close this meeting. Some of us maybe began seeking for a hidden life with God, but something happened along the way. We no more concentrate on that. I want to invite such to come back. Come back to that life where we seek to live before God, not before the brothers and sisters, not before the elders, but we seek to live before God. Some of us have continued. I want to encourage you to continue. And we can sum up the life of Jesus. That's one word, you know, what Newton read. You know, I just want to leave that with you as we close in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. It says, you know, we heard that Jesus continued. There's a word there, 40. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And we read further down, you know, the incident there when they were looking for him when he was 12 years. 12 years had passed by, and he still had another 18 years to go. And he was there in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, verse 46, listening to them, asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Not at his intellect. I hope you understand that. Because they were not amazed at his intellect and intelligence. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And Jesus said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you know that I had to be in my father's house?" So, like it says in another translation, "I had to be about my father's business." But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued, there's that word again, continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I want to encourage us, some of us who have stopped, come back and seek God for a hidden life. Some of us who have continued to keep on continuing. You want to grow in wisdom? You want to have favor with God and man? Continue, my brothers and sisters. Continue to look at the life of Jesus and seek to follow in his footsteps. Don't look for recognition in the church. Don't look to come up here and preach or to be somebody in the church or anything. Just to have a hidden life. And that really challenged me this morning. I know this is what we heard from the beginning, but it challenged my heart to really ask God for revival. I ask God to revive in my heart that desire and that zeal to have a hidden life with God. Paul encouraged Timothy, the same word, you know, continue. 2 Timothy chapter 3. "You, however," verse 14, "continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." We've heard two brothers this morning, they didn't preach a sermon. And I know them, I know that they have a hidden life with God. And you see that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. We heard that from Charles. We can't be like a man without bullets. We need the word of God in our heart, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Make sure you have bullets, my brothers and sisters. You can't fight the enemy without bullets, with just a pep talk. But to look at the life of Jesus and to have God's word in our heart, we become a threat to the devil and his kingdom. May God speak to our hearts, let's bow our heads and respond. He who has ears to hear, she who has ears to hear, let him hear, let her hear.